Morning, everybody. It's Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long here on WGN Radio. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. A little bit of flurries in the air, Roger Badish. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Welcome back.
Thank you. And we've got Shantae back behind the glass tonight. So the whole gang's back together for the next 3 hours till 5 a.m. Thanks for being with us, as we said. What's going on with your life this week, buddy?
The usual, exciting? Nothing exciting. You know, the enclave at the Badish household is maintaining.
Excellent.
And
it's always good news.
Doing all right. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. This was a long week of baseball preparation.
Oh, yeah.
Little League. You know, we don't start for a month, but now we had drafts this week already.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our drafts, which means, you know, a lot of talking to dads about being calm, not getting in fights, not yelling,
yeah,
not fighting. Don't berate the child umpires, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, we've got a pretty good group. But so here's the interesting thing that happened to me. So on Tuesday night, we had our first draft. So I'm on the board of Little League, so I had to be there and I had to work the whole mm-hmm. thing. And so then as we finish up, there's a safety meeting that they go through because we get training and we have AED paddles at all the fields, all the stuff. But I go through that several times, so I didn't have to sit in there. So I went and sat at the bar. Because we do it at this little golf course out by us.
Okay.
And had a beer with one of the other board members, and the speech was up on the TVs, but the sound was not on.
Oh, the congressional closed,
yes,
joint Congress
and
speech.
And the closed captioning was not on. That was a really interesting way to watch that.
Oh, just him with the mouth moving and nothing
I never
else.
Actually heard a word of it.
Okay.
I saw the reports afterwards and heard people complain or be happy or whatever mm-hmm. afterwards, but I just watched it, sort of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting. So explain to me, Roger, because then I didn't bother even following up on this.
Oh, gosh.
No, this is going to be okay. So State of the Union is once a year. Is it rare for a joint session of Congress presidential speech, or does every new president do that once right away to kick things off?
I don't think it's unusual. Let's say it's not highly unusual. I believe it's been done before by several presidents over time. The State of the Union is still the State of the Union. And what's puzzled me is many in the news industry over the past week have said or posted State of the Union, SOTU.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This was not a State of the Union address.
Is the State of the Union address required by law? It doesn't have to happen.
I'd have to look into that.
Because wasn't there some controversy over how they weren't going to, was it Clinton or Obama that they weren't going to invite? It was probably
Ooh.
President Obama, right? Because there was some talk about we just may not invite him because they were all fighting or whatever.
You know what? It might have been.
Because he has to be invited,
Clint,
right?
It might have been Clinton. You know what? It's a request,
okay,
I think, that is sent down by the executive branch. And
saying, I'd like to speak to you all.
Yeah.
And can we get together?
Because you're going into their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, State of the Union, you're bringing all three branches together. Because the Supreme Court sits up front.
So the Supreme Court did not show up for this one.
Yeah, and you have all of your
which left more room for the Russian ambassador.
He does need a double one.
Well, no, I
no,
wasn't
okay.
saying that.
Right.
I wasn't going with a Chris
right.
Christie
okay.
on that. I was
all
just
right,
saying,
right.
you know.
No, it. But you also have your department chairs. You have you have everybody
yeah.
from Capitol Hill
department
at a
chairs?
State of the Union.
Okay, right.
So and I wonder if any of the
but
congressmen
this,
have to double up.
This was just Congress.
This was just him
altogether.
Saying, you know, I got something to say. I want to come down and say it, and I'm going to come down and say it.
So it's very interesting. So as you said, it hasn't been done. You know, it's not done all the time. It is done. But
mm-hmm.
what's interesting to me about that is that that's a really fascinating idea for President Trump maybe to take advantage of. So Republicans control both houses, so he could get that invitation more or less any time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So press conferences have gone rough. Spicer's battling with everybody. The optics haven't been great. Trump keeps railing against the media, and so there's this battle back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just go speak in front of Congress, I can look very presidential.
And sound.
Nobody can ask a question.
Right.
I can trot some people out, highlight some things. This and hey, it worked, right? I mean, afterwards,
mm-hmm.
people were saying, look at how presidential he sound.
Right.
You know, So it really worked for him. It played in his favor. Now, a lot of people, of course, are not happy with him about it and complaining about it and this and that. But overall for him, any good publicity, I would say, is pretty good publicity. And there was a lot of praise coming out of this. I think even from liberal-minded people were kind of giving him as well. He sounded presidential, at least in that one.
And then he got a hold of his phone.
We'll get more into that. Okay. Jerry's called in. Jerry, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Matt. Hi, Roger. It's good to hear from you guys. I'm not 100% sure, but my 100% commitment to WGN has told me this, that the first year a president is elected, he has his inauguration on the 20th of January.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next month, he gets all the houses together. The judges were in the first row, and the Democrats on their side, the Republicans on their side. There were various other people there. And they do the clap and boo, sit down and everything. Then the next year, since he's not being inaugurated anymore, he goes into a State of the Union address in January, the third year.
But I thought it's not always in January. Is the State of the Union always in January?
Yes.
Why do I always think it's in the fall?
I don't know. This is my learning from WGN, Matt, I'm telling you.
So, Jerry, you're telling me I need to listen to the station more often is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, better than going in golf clubs and turning the radios off and everything.
Well, Jerry, it's not like I was playing hooky or like, you know, running away from home. I was working.
Hey, Matt, you just should go to Mexico with us next Saturday.
Oh, are you going with Rose Tripp?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jerry, I'm so jealous. I can't stand it.
Excited. Oh. Hey, we've been married 45 years and we have never taken a trip out of the country.
Are you serious?
This is our honeymoon after 45 years of marriage.
Jerry, let me tell you this.
So
you're going to Secrets Huatulco, right?
You got it.
Colleen and I have gone. We've been lucky enough to be able to go on vacation for the last like 4 or 5 years. This year we took the kids, so it wasn't really a vacation. But we've gone.
Mm.
And we go to a Secrets resort every single year. You are going to love this like you can't believe, Jerry. Like you can't believe, I'm telling you.
I am so confused because I've never done anything like this before.
What do you need to know? I'll tell you whatever you need to know. What do you need?
Well, we're taking Valaris, first of all, out of O'Hare. And there, I heard there's 120 people going.
Valaris?
Nobody knows each other.
What is Valaris?
Yeah,
is that an airline?
Valaris Airlines, yeah.
Okay.
Valaris Airlines, and we're in with Apple Vacations.
Sure, okay.
But there's 100 people, supposedly, in Moreau's group. I don't know anybody. I'm usually not a shy person.
Sure.
But, I mean, these are people that I think we're going to see around for 8 days.
Yeah, you will.
And I'd like to make some friends, you know?
Oh.
And I've heard that the resort is just excellent.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous, let me tell you that. First of all, you're going to meet people like crazy because you've all got this common, oh, are you here with Rose Trip? Or are you here? You guys will get to know each other. It'll be great. Rose Crew is all going to be there. And, you know, Violetta and Kevin are going to be walking around making friends with everybody. I will guarantee you that all day long.
I know.
They're
going
to be like the ringleaders. Yeah, they're going
to
be the ringleaders.
Yeah,
those two will cause a lot of trouble. They'll get things going. And at the Secrets Resorts, it's incredible because it's all inclusive. So if you want to just sit on the beach and have a drink and read a book, you can do that. If you want to get involved in some activities, they're going to have team members walking around trying to get you to go play beach volleyball or maybe shoot arrows at a board or play bag toss,
really
whatever you want.
Fashioned. This is old fashioned, but is it kind of like Dirty Dancing, how they have
No. No, not exactly, because
you
there's not.
I mean,
it's
volleyball, the beach, and
yeah, I mean,
dance lessons, and
yes, I mean, think of transport Dirty Dancing to a beachside resort, I guess, sort of. Yes,
exactly.
There's
That's
not a big
I'm
talent show
of.
At the end, and it's not a lot of, you know, like families there for the whole summer, and like a lot of kids, and so you're going to a secret, so it's adults only, so there won't be any kids there. There won't be any 16,
yes,
or 15, or 14
year olds. Joy. Of life. I'm sorry, but I've got girls. I love them dearly. They're 40 and 42 years old, and they've had their chance. But I'm going without any kids being around.
Well, you know, they are allowed because they're old enough, Jerry. They could go if they want.
I'm not paying for them.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either if I were you.
Okay, Matt, get back to the conversation have somebody double check that. But that's what I'm pretty sure I picked up from, I don't know, it could have been Bertrand.
So wait a minute. When do you leave? I got to get back to the. Now you throw me all off, Jerry. Now I'm dreaming of Mexico. You guys leave not today, a week from today?
A week from today, I will probably be sitting in the parking lot at Wally Park by O'Hare Airport because I got a Groupon. And we are going to be shuttled to O'Hare,
okay,
Terminal 5 International.
Yep.
And I've been told the flight is supposed to be at 7, which is horrid. I'm told that you should be there at least 2 to 3 hours ahead of time. Now, I want to kind of just be, I'm always an ahead of time person to kind of watch and see what's going on. So I'm figuring we will go up early, then we take off at 7. And we just got our itinerary at an email today. And by the time we get there, we check in. And the first thing we'll do is we will have a get-together welcome at 7 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
In the evening.
At 7 o'clock.
So, I mean. So,
Jerry, I'm going to. You're definitely taking out of Terminal 5?
Yes, the International Terminal.
Because you don't have to take off from International. You don't have to. No, you don't go through customs till you get to Mexico. You're not going through customs yet. You go through customs when you get to Mexico. Nope. You'll do it here when you get back. So double check your terminal. Make sure it's 5 because a lot of times
it is 5.
You don't take out
I
from 5.
Today.
Okay, all right. So that's fine. But you won't have to go through customs till you get to Mexico. You'll fill out a little form on the plane, and then you go through it there. Now, one of two things is going to happen. When you get to Mexico, it's either going to be insanely quick and you're going to be thrilled, or you're going to wait there for about an hour. It depends on how many people are landing at the same time. You never know what you're going to get. And then you'll take the bus. I'm sure you guys will shuttle and go, and then it's just going to be so much fun. So much fun, Jerry. You're going to have a great time. So you leave on Saturday. And by the way, I would not get to O'Hare 3 hours before your flight. You do not need that. If your flight's at 7, I would get there at 5 at the very earliest, and you'll be absolutely fine.
Okay.
All right. I think
that's when the first people come to open up the counters and everything, too, at 5.
Yeah, you're not gonna get a lot done if you're there at 3 in the morning, that's for sure.
And I've been tracing the weather day by day, and the highs are running about 80 to 89. Lows are running about 60 to 65, and there's been just a little tad of rain. See, I'm excited. My husband thinks I'm crazy.
So you guys go on Saturday and come back when? Isn't that until the next Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah, we will come back. We will leave Mexico approximately 12:30 in the afternoon, and we'll be showing up back at O'Hare, I think, at like 6:30.
All right, here's what you got to do, Jerry. I'm going to put you on hold. Shantae's going to get your email because the Secrets Resorts, by the way, have a free app. Now, listen to this. When you get there, you can download a free app to your phone, and then you can call back to America for free through the app. Don't have to use any data on your phone. That's right. That's one of the benefits. It's awesome. Now, I'm going to throw you on hold. You're going to give Shantae your email, and what we're going to do is we're going to email you during the week when you're there. And you're going to find out Kevin and Violetta's room number so that during the show next weekend, we're going to call and wake him up in the middle of the night.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Yes. So now I have a purpose to find their room numbers.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
You will be the stalker that followed them around all week to find their room numbers.
I think they will recognize me from all the
live
that you guys
remotes
do.
That they've done. Excellent. All right, Jay.
Hold
on 1 second. Talk to Shantae. Pack. Be ready. Have fun. Roger, when are we supposed to go to Mexico with the show? We'd have like 6 people.
I've got a travel map about Mexico.
Yeah.
That'll
get us started.
I look at it when the sun is shining and dream dreams.
Here's how it works. So Ro's show takes like 3 plane loads of people to Mexico.
Right.
Like I heard, this is months ago, that there were all the flights to Mexico from Chicago or to, where are they flying to? Are they flying to Puerto Verde or Ixtapa? I don't know where they're flying
to.
But that they were all booked. So there's a lot of people going on this.
For this trip.
With Rose Show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I do know a couple that is going.
Yeah. Well, now we know Jerry.
Now
too.
I know another. Yeah. A couple going.
So,
yeah, sure.
If Rose Show gets a couple plane loads of people, by the sliding scale, you and I could take like a VW bus of people. Like, that's how it would work here at the station. Rose is going to fly down first class with, 300 listeners. We would rent. No, maybe we'll take the fan van. And we'll go to Tijuana. All-inclusive fan van trip to Tijuana with 3 listeners. Maybe we could do that.
That would be fantastic.
You and I could share
the driving.
It would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
I want to get an old hippie mobile, though.
Old classic VW?
Yeah, the one that hit me when I was young.
Did you get hit by one?
I got hit by one. It wasn't a hippie mobile, but I got hit by one when I was a Cub Scout. Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Roger.
So was my tooth.
You got hit by a car and lost a tooth?
Yeah, I chipped my tooth on the blacktop, knocked me out, and I woke up and I crawled out from underneath, and everyone was like,
"You were underneath the bus when you woke up?"
Yeah.
Oh my God, that driver must have been freaking out.
They should have been taken to the hospital. But I rode to the hospital in the front of a police car.
Should they have been arrested? Or did you just start out in the traffic?
Well, I looked both.
How old were you?
I was a Cub Scout. I was in grade school. I looked both ways. It was a weird intersection. Like, the intersection didn't go straight across. There were two streets to the left and to the right. Okay. And then across the street, there was another road in the middle.
That's a tough one.
It was kind of weird. So I looked both ways. But as I looked left and then looked right. As I was looking right, the bus pulled out from the road on the left and was doing pretty fast to get to where I was in the middle of the block, so that by the time I took my two steps out, they were there already. Hit the bumper, left side of my back kind of stopped working, and knocked me out. Tooth chipped on the pavement. When I woke up, I crawled out. Everyone from the Cub Scout meeting was in shock.
I'll bet.
Well, they thought that I was
dead.
Dead, yeah.
Oh, God.
And they called the police officer. I'm looking around like a dummy, going, I'm fine.
Were you concussed?
They didn't look at that. Actually, concussions weren't a big deal.
God, isn't it great, Raj? Back in the day,
I was a Boy Scout
traversing a street in Chicago. I mean, think about today. Yeah. A, our kids would never be crossing any of these streets. We wouldn't be letting them do any of this stuff. You know, we were
without a helmet,
helicoptering around them. And, chipped a tooth. I was under the bus. It was fine. Oh, my God. Yeah. Today, that lawsuit would go on for months.
Oh, I know. Yeah. this was up in Evanston on Asbury, near Hull Terrace. God. It was, another story. And you know, cars in our family, every one of the boys in the Baddish household have been hit by a car.
Seriously?
Seriously. My brother was hit by a car in Washington, D.C. when we were on vacation, and it pushed him into my father, who went down. In fact, there's a picture in the Washington, D.C. newspaper of that. Then I got hit by the car.
Hold on. There's a picture in the Washington, D.C. newspaper of your brother getting hit into your father?
Well, my brother was on the ground by then, and my father's holding his bloodied arm, and we're all standing around, and someone from the newspaper took a picture, and it was in the paper. God, I got a picture of it somewhere.
Wow.
Then I got hit by the VW bus. Then my brother got hit a second time when he was crossing the highway down in Carbondale. That one was not a good one. And then our son got hit by a car, gosh, I want to say about 6 years ago now.
Good God, Roger, what is wrong in your family?
I don't know. He's got a...
Guy's got some weird, like, platinum, metal plates inside of you that attracts the metal?
Platinum or whatever. It doesn't set off the alarms at the airports. He's got a...
Platinum where?
In his leg. He's in the...
Because he got hit that bad.
Yeah, it broke his leg.
God,
and it was late at night. He had just left the house on his bicycle.
I am never walking to lunch or dinner with you. I'm dead serious, Roger. You got some black cloud that I am not taking part in.
I don't know what it is.
Has anybody in your family ever been hit twice by a car?
Well, my brother, Rick.
Yeah. He had a second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, see... Yeah. I would, now, if you said, nope, everybody once and done, then I'd say, fine, we can walk together, according to GARP.
No.
But
he was hit by a drunk driver in Carbondale didn't survive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that was a twist I didn't see coming, Roger.
Sorry.
Jeez, oh, Pete. When was that?
1967. State gymnastics meet was on for high school, so it was like in April.
It's 50 years this year.
Yep.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that, Roger. God. Yeah. Okay.
So we try to, we're trying to get a new car, by the way.
This is taking a lot of twists, Roger. I can't keep up with what we're doing here. We're laughing, we're crying, we're buying new cars. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. God.
When you walked in the door tonight,
I had no idea what was coming. This is why we can only do it once a week, people.
And here I wanted to tell you all about when the president can address the Congress.
Well, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
By the way, I got a text. Trucker Alan would be willing to help drive to Mexico.
Oh, that would be, we could get more people in the truck.
Well, you know, so in a VW, if we take a VW classic hippie mobile.
Right.
What are we thinking? Like eight total?
Oh, you can stuff 20 in there.
I know we can, but we're going to Tijuana. We gotta be comfortable. We can't be like a clown car all the way down there. We'll never make it. I'd say 10 max,
10,
right?
10 max.
This is the rule. Nobody's sitting on each other's lap.
Okay.
And nobody's sitting on the floor. Nobody, like, stuffed in the trunk.
All right. Well,
the engine's
no
in the trunk, right?
No, there's no trunk.
See, I don't like the idea of this thing. That means a front end crash and your knees are in the back window of somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, we'll drive carefully.
Okay. We'll take our time. Because it won't go very fast anyway.
No.
Now, we got to take Route 66.
Oh,
the
classic.
Old routes, not
yes.
just the through highway
all the little
part.
Cities.
Going
I did
through all
that.
The little, it's going to take us 2 weeks to get
when
there.
When we moved to Vegas in 75,
that's how, you did it.
That's how I did it, through all the small towns.
It was still 66 and 75, right?
Yeah, and you had to really check the map, and there were parts where it was missing completely,
yeah.
and you had to take like different routes to get back on it. And
oh, that's
but it was
cool.
It was fun. We had a blast.
I got good news, everybody. Ron will also help drive.
So are we doubling the number of people?
So we've got Ron in the 920 area code. Where's 920 at? Ron might have to make his way up here first.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got Ron and then Trucker Allen. So let me write that down. Ron.
All right, so we got two vehicles.
Oh, we're doing two different vehicles?
Well,
maybe
they
we
both suggested to
maybe
drive.
Maybe we caravan.
Oh.
Maybe we see.
We get on the CBs?
Because then we could start out small. And then if more people want to come,
pick
then it just
along,
grows.
Pick them up as we go along.
You know what? I've never driven and used a CB. That would be so much fun.
That would be cool.
Breaker, breaker.
Yeah.
What's your 20?
Breaker,
we
breaker.
We could do that.
Yeah. Well, I got a Smokey on my tail.
We'll do like a Smokey and the Bandit run to Mexico.
So cool. What do we pick up down there and then come back with?
Viagra for cheap. I'm going to tell you a true story, Roger. I have a friend, I will not name her because I will protect her, even though she's not very innocent, who just went to Mexico. I have a friend who recently separated.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, it's good put. They're on their own. They
right.
moved on.
All right.
She met a guy on an airplane.
It happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
She's an attractive young lady, and she tends to meet people.
Okay.
Meets a guy on an airplane. They strike it up. He's also divorced. He's got kids. She's got kids. Blah, blah, blah. They start talking. They live in the same town. Cause
mm-hmm.
they're, and she doesn't live here in Chicago. And so they start talking. They start seeing each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As they're talking, getting to know each other, something comes up. And she says, oh, yeah, I've never been to Mexico. He says, you've got to go to Mexico. She says, I'd love to go to Mexico. He says, what if I plan a trip? Will you go? She says,
ooh.
Yes, I will. Going through a change of life. What the hell? Let's
wow,
go to Mexico.
Yeah.
She goes to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
She did this with this guy that she knew for like 2 weeks.
All right. So
and had
happens.
A wonderful time.
Yeah, great.
But she reported back to me that you can buy drugs incredibly inexpensively in Mexico if you go to La Farmacia.
Yeah. Was she specific about which drugs?
She did. She named a bunch of them, including like painkillers.
Okay.
And she said in like Viagra, stuff like that, you can get all those pills real cheap. So, we take an empty truck.
Yeah.
We go down. We load that puppy up. Come on back. Sell it all the way back. We'll pay for the whole trip.
Yeah. How are we going to get past customs when we come back, though?
Do they check that stuff?
If you got a huge truck.
All right. Maybe a small truck.
They need to check the content.
Maybe we
get a small truck.
Maybe we just stuff the wheel wells of our VW hippie van.
How about the rocker? What do they call that? Oh, my gosh. The rocker arms. It was French Connection. Remember when they took the car apart and they found the drugs stuck down right like underneath the door, that part you step up on?
I never saw the French Connection.
Oh, you got to watch it.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Got to add another one.
Okay.
Oh, French Connection.
French. The original.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if we're in a hippie van, they're not going to suspect that would be hauling any
drugs
back, right?
They're going to suspect everything in a hippie van.
We'd pull up. There's a big cloud of smoke wafting out of it. No, No, man, we're good. We're just here touristing.
Wow.
I think, no.
We'll never see home again.
Did you hear the commercial during the news? So we've got Ro and the whole crew going to Huatuco, to the Secrets Resort. Wonderful trip. Lou's advertising that he's going to Spain. He's taking listeners to Spain.
I thought he said pink flamingos, but I must have misheard that.
It's right. Lou. Spike's going on another, I believe, Kelly cruise to Alaska.
Yeah.
Couples, I think, rooms left on that he was putting on Facebook this week.
Everyone's going on trips.
I think, is John doing another river cruise this year for Kelly cruise? I think
might.
He is. Everybody's going somewhere.
We got to
go. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Why are we here?
In the cold.
I mean, hell, they sold the building. We're going to get kicked out of here eventually. We
can
just start doing the show from a different location every week.
Let's do a WGN on the road.
Yes. Yes.
And we'll have the Willie Nelson song playing as the lead-in.
Okay. Yes,
I
like it.
On the road again.
Yeah.
Okay. And we could just, like, a mysterious, guess where we are.
Yes. You know, when I used to produce John's show back in the day, whenever we went on vacation, I would call in and give hints to where we were. It was a takeoff on Where's Waldo. It was where, and Kurt Vandraw made this song, Where in the World is Producer Matt Bobala.
Oh, that's a great song.
I can't remember what it's takeoff of, but it was something.
Carmen Santiago.
Oh, there you go.
Where in the World.
And then I called in from London and from Paris and from Washington, D.C. and New York City.
Oh, my God. Let's do that.
Like, listeners had to guess. I was at Ford's Theater in D.C., and I had to give some hints. They had to guess, and they won fabulous prizes, probably a pizza. And we could do that all the way down to Mexico.
That would be fantastic.
Different stops along the way on Route
66. We could call from the police station in Guadalajara.
You think that's where we're going to end up?
We might.
Do you think, like, in Mexico, it's a bad time for an American to get arrested right now?
I don't know.
You know, because, like, we're sending bad hombres up here, and then we go down there and cause a ruckus. You think they're like, hello.
Well, we could just say, hey, we got kicked out of the United States because we're the bad
hombres. Would they
call
us bad gringos?
Bad gringos. Why not?
I'm telling you.
Though I'm the sweetest bad gringo you'd ever want
to
meet.
So we need, who do we have to pitch on this, you think? Stephanie or Todd or how high do we go?
Well, we
got to
make sure we bring stuff back for them.
Is that how they're going to let us go?
I think so. I think so. If we promise to bring stuff back.
Do you think they'd let us borrow the fan van for like a month?
I don't know about the fan van.
Well, how are you going to get me out of, like,
you know what? We'll hire the Muppets and they'll repaint the fan van.
Did you say the Muppets?
Yeah. You ever see the Muppet movie? The original?
Yes, I thought so.
You remember when?
No.
Dr. Teeth. And they repainted the van, remember?
This is the first time in my life anybody goes, remember when in the Muppets movie they did that? We could do that.
And it blended in with the billboard. You don't remember that.
I know. What are you doing? All right, hold on. Somebody's got some advice for us.
Okay.
630 says, okay. If you have a truck driver, get a shipping container or two. They're stackable with air conditioning. Pimp it out with some shag carpet, lava lamps, and beanbag chairs. So we go in the back of a semi-truck.
Yeah, but you make suites out of them, and you have party rooms and stuff.
Maybe we get like a
Like
huge,
you said, pimp it out.
What if we get a huge RV? That would be riding in comfort.
Ah, there's too many cabinets. You're going to have to rip it all out and make it a really... I've been in one of those big ones. Former boss of mine used to have one.
Yeah, but I'm not saying we have to tear it apart. I'm just saying we drive in it because it's nice.
Isn't it nice? Yeah, very nice.
Do you have to have a special license for that?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, all right. So there's that.
I know guys who have them already, so we
could
always...
Do they want to come?
Well, I'm sure they will. Mexico,
maybe,
yahoo.
Maybe Ron or Alan has one of those.
I'm sure they do.
All right. So we get...
Marking all this stuff.
Well, yes, I got Ron and Alan written down. Shantae, are you coming with us on this? Are you in? All right, Shantae's in.
All right.
So there's five of us now.
Yeah. Shantae's going to keep us in line.
Yeah, well, that would probably be necessary. Shantae, we need to work on another woman to come with, because I don't know if you want to drive with four guys down to Mexico. That sounds like a horror story. Maybe we could get, maybe we could make Andre Darlis come with.
Oh, she would love it.
Would she?
Oh, yes.
Let's make Patty come with.
She would love it, too. Where are we going? Mexico. I'm there.
You think Patty jump in on that? She's very busy with the Chicago Hope and Fire and PD and all that stuff. That
yeah,
she's got
so,
going on.
You know, she'll take a sabbatical and she'll come back when she's ready.
That's okay.
Right. She'll be with them.
All right. So Ron and Alan are in. Anybody else want to jump on board? It's the Matt Bubala Show trip to Mexico. It's not as luxurious as Rose trip, but it's... I don't know how to describe it.
We don't know where we're
still
going.
Working on the marketing on this.
Yes.
Well, we know we're going to Tijuana because if Ro is going on like the highest class trip possible,
right?
We've got to go the other way.
So Tijuana's the place?
So okay. Ro's flying to an all-inclusive Awesome Secrets Resort. Mm-hmm. We're driving a VW bus to Tijuana.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, is that our comparable?
Do we get to sit and listen to the Tijuana brass?
If they're there.
Herb Alpert?
Maybe. He's dead, right?
No, he's still alive.
He is?
I think he is.
Is he in Tijuana?
Well, he had a Tijuana.
From what
brass.
I know, Tijuana is not a good place, right?
No.
I believe it still has a pretty rough reputation.
Extremely.
It's right next to Mexico. We could stop in, or right next to San Diego. We could stop into San Diego.
San Diego's a nice place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I like San Diego.
It's close to La Jolla, which I love.
True.
This is, wow.
Somebody says there should be rocker panels, or is that in reference to what you're saying?
Yeah, rocker panels. That's where the drugs were kept.
Yeah. Trucker Allen says, let's start out small and just take a trip to Kankakee. Sort of a test
There's
run.
There's a good truck stop in Kankakee. Really good. At least there was.
And 60 says you don't need a special license to drive an RV.
Really? I thought it was you need like an over-the-road type of license. That's a huge piece of machinery.
It is. It's not one I'd want to take on easily.
No.
I think I'd want a little practice on that one. All right. So let's go back to the joint session of Congress.
Yeah, I've got information. Okay. So I have information.
All right.
So here we go. So subjects of joint sessions and meetings. Okay. In addition to the State of the Union addresses, inaugurals, and counting of electoral votes, because they have to have a joint session to count the electoral votes and verify them, joint sessions usually fall into one of several topics. So I'm going down, and there's a lot of them. And here's presidential addresses. In addition to the State of the Union addresses, presidents deliver addresses to Congress on specific subjects. The first such speech was delivered by John Adams on the subject of U.S. relations with France. The most popular subjects for such addresses are economic, military, and foreign policy issues. And I think he touched on all three of those during the speech. In addition to bringing back the tradition of delivering a State of the Union address, Woodrow Wilson was the first president since John Adams to address Congress on specific topics. He delivered more such speeches, 17, than any other president.
Wow. I bet President Trump does this more often, as long as they control the houses and it can be.
Yeah, he can call them together anytime.
Friendly crowd. This played well for him, that's for sure. So I imagine it's going to get done more often.
Yeah. FDR delivered his day, which shall live in infamy, mm-hmm. to a joint session of Congress. Lyndon Johnson.
Did W do one after 9/11? I want to say he did.
Yes, he did.
He did, okay.
So you've got Johnson, where he, during the civil rights, marches, he called on Congress to write and pass a Voting Rights Act. George W. on September 20th spoke.
9 days
later. Let's see here. Joint session, the first one, April 6, 1789, Federal Hall in New York City during the first Congress for the counting of electoral votes. Hmm. The first formally recorded joint meeting occurred December 18th, 1874, during the 43rd Congress in Washington as a reception for King Kalakaua of the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Wow.
And he was going to deliver a speech because that's one of the joint session things that they do is when you have a foreign dignitary coming in and they want to speak to a joint session of Congress.
When's the last time we had a foreign dignitary speak to a joint session of Congress?
Let me see.
Because I cannot recall one.
June 8th, 2016, by Indian Prime Minister Narendra
Seriously?
Modi, yep. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, April 29th, 2015.
So this happens all the time and we just don't pay much attention to it?
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, it's covered as a speech. I don't think anyone points out that, oh, by the way, it's a joint session of Congress.
Yeah. By the way, to jump back to our other pressing topic.
Our trip.
Hippie Mike says he's on board and then offers up. So let me write down Mike and, more importantly, Hippie Mike, because that'll fit in with our van. He says, here, this is what we need, Roger. He says, I'll either hide or eat the stash if we get pulled over.
This is a man we need to have. Seriously.
Now, I don't want to know where he might hide it.
Right.
But I'm glad to know he'll eat it, and you know, instead of any of us going to jail. Thank you, Mike. Now, if the stash, now here's the problem, though.
Okay.
The stash we had been talking about was a truckload of
pills.
Viagra pills.
Right.
Mike, if you eat that whole stash.
Oh, God, where have we got problems?
Yeah, that's going to be one of those 4-hour call the doctor type situations.
I don't want to.
And I don't really want to ride in that van.
No, there won't be enough room.
Oh, God. Roger. What
I'm
is
sorry.
Wrong with you?
I don't
what
know.
Is wrong with you? This is why we're here trying to plan a bus trip to Mexico instead of flying with Mo and the whole gang down to Huatulco. WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com, a minute after 3. Let's check the news now with Roger.
And we've still got some light snow throughout the area, scattered throughout the area. It's intermittent. 28 degrees at O'Hare. Over 235,000 undocumented immigrants in Illinois have signed up for the state's temporary visitor driver's licenses. Secretary of State Jesse White says he has no plans to hand that information over to the federal government if they should ask for it in their quest to deport illegals. Spokesperson Dave Drucker.
He believes very strongly that that information needs to stay within our system and should not be available for fishing expeditions.
And he says at this point they have no information that the Trump administration is trying to gain access to that database. There are now 2 confirmed cases of mumps at Barrington High School, 1 adult, 1 student.
I've been monitoring my children, some of the friends and stuff, and I haven't seen anything to even warrant mumps.
Number of suspected cases continues to go up, 18 at the high school, 9 at Prairie and Station Middle Schools in Barrington. School advising parents to have their children vaccinated and to stay home until cleared by a doctor if they get sick. Civil rights leader says he's got concerns about the Justice Department. More from Tim McGuire.
NAACP President Cornell William Brooks, after meeting Friday with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, says he's worried that the Trump administration is too entangled with the Russians and the Justice Department won't fight what he sees as onerous state voter ID laws.
Did a foreign state influence our democracy? And number 2, did domestic politicians impugn the credibility and integrity of our democracy by suppressing the vote?
Brooks also says that Sessions told him during the meeting that they will agree on some issues and disagree on others. Tim McGuire, Washington.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio in Chicago yesterday, speaking at the City Club of Chicago, he took aim at the Trump administration for bashing Chicago's gun violence problem.
I'll be very blunt. I am sick of President Trump denigrating Chicago. And again, it's become his surrogate, but he thinks about all cities. And I don't get it, because he's a born and bred New Yorker.
De Blasio putting part of the blame of violence on lax gun laws in bordering states. He met with Mayor Emanuel earlier in the day. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hey, Chicagoland. We're at Wolf's Flea Market in Palatine. Okay, we've got stuff for everyone. Antiques, new stuff, collectibles, reuse, repurpose, recycle. We've got food outlets, fresh fruits and vegetables. We have jewelry, bargains, discounts. Wolf's Flea Market, family fun, family owned for 25 years. You can find vinyl records, 45s, CDs, collectibles, video games, electronics, music, movies, clothes, shoes, toys, tools, treasures, and more. Wolf's Flea Market on Rand Road. Hundreds of small businesses in just one place. Bring your mom, bring your dad, bring your kids, bring your money for bargains and deals to Wolf's Flea Market in Palatine, 1775 North Rand Road. Learn more at wolfs.com. That's Wolf's with 2 F's. Wolf's Flea Market. Find them on Facebook. Find them at 1775 North Rand Road, Palatine, between Lake Cook and Dundee Roads. See you at the Flea. You'll wolf it down.
Wow, it looks like you're on the edge of something new, Tom Jenke. I hear you've opened another amazing Edge kitchen and bath designer showroom.
Yes, Lindsay. As owner of Builder Supply Outlet, I'm proud to announce our newest opening of The Edge in Orland Park.
I can't wait to spread the word on our Mr. Fix-It show. Is it like The Edge here at Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview?
It's even bigger and filled with the most beautiful kitchen and bathroom displays in the area.
I know your selection and designers are fantastic.
Our designers will treat you like family and take a personal interest in delivering the best service and products. Everyone is invited to come for a free consultation.
You do have a high-end look without the high-end price.
Our newest Edge kitchen and bath showroom is located on 151st Street, east of LaGrange Road in Orland Park. Or visit edgekitchenandbath.com.
High-end look without the high-end price. The Edge kitchen and bath showroom.
From Builder Supply Outlet.
WGN Sports, your Hawks will be in Nashville tonight after beating the New York Islanders. Exciting game yesterday. They tied one all and stayed tied through the overtime. Had to go into a shootout. The Hawks beating the Islanders 2-1. They'll be in Nashville. 6:30 is your pregame with Judd. Face off at 7 with John and Troy right here on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. Missouri Valley Tournament underway in St. Louis. Southern Illinois and Illinois State play in a semifinal game today, as does Wichita State and Missouri State, the winner going on to the finals. And Bulls hosting the Clippers. We'll be watching some other regular season college football, basketball games, rather. Illinois at Rutgers, Indiana at Ohio State, Xavier at DePaul, and Notre Dame at Louisville. Some of those games we'll be watching for you today, bringing the results when they come in. State high school basketball, girls, 3A state finals and the 4A state finals. 3A finding Morton at Rochester and Edwardsville taking on Geneva. The boys' 3A regional and 4A regional games took place yesterday. The championships, quite a number of area teams advancing, including one Wildcat team, the Wildcats of Evanston Township High School. Exhibition baseball, Cubs losing to Cincinnati yesterday, Sox beating San Diego 3-1. Cubs will take on the Dodgers today, and Sox taking on the Angels. In the WGC World Golf Championship, Mexico, after two rounds, Rory McIlroy leading at 9 under par. Checking WGN traffic on an accident blocking the two right lanes westbound I-94 at 79th Street right now. An accident 63rd Street at Damon Avenue. A crash involving a Chicago Police Department vehicle. And again, snow out on the area expressways, tollways, and highways. It's blowing around, causing some hazardous driving conditions. So please be careful when you are out driving there. The travel times around the area on the expressways, tollways, and highways, everything moving along at posted speeds right now. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, a 20% chance of snow before 9 o'clock. Actually, it's more like 100% right now. It should clear up, becoming mostly sunny later today. Windy, high near 39 on Sunday, warming up to 54 under partly sunny skies. Monday, got about a 40% chance of showers. Cloudy, breezy, high near 60 on Monday. Right now, 28 at O'Hare, 29 at Midway, 27 in Wayne, 28 also along the lakefront. Lake Michigan water temperature at 41, winds out of the southeast at 6. We're getting some report of fog around Midway Airport. Also some around O'Hare now. We're seeing reports of that along with the light snow. So it's making for hazardous conditions on the road. So, again, be careful out there. I'm Roger Battish in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's the Matt Bubala Show, 720 WGN. So there's a lot of problems on our little planet here, our little marble. And we don't have enough health care for our veterans. We have homeless. We have wars raging across the world. We have religious factions fighting against each other. And so when we spend billions and billions of dollars on space travel or looking for other life, people a lot of times say, why are we wasting money on this when there's so many problems here on Earth? And we will always be able to say that. No matter what, if we canceled all the space programs and reinvested money in the problems we have on Earth, we'd still have problems here on Earth. So I don't think it's a waste of money or time. to look for these things or to send people to the moon or to figure out more about our planet and our life. I think a lot of great technology and other things have been discovered because of this. But I firmly believe, and I mentioned this to Nick, that at least this is my great hope, Roger, that if we found life on other planets, if we knew there was for sure the existence of life elsewhere in our little universe, that maybe in some weird way that would help bring us together a little bit. You know, I really believe, and listen, I'm a good Catholic boy.
Mm-hmm.
16 years of Catholic schooling, although somebody asked me this week what the ashes were for, and I couldn't explain it to him, so that was embarrassing. I had to look on Wikipedia. Oh, what, no. Could you tell us?
I wasn't raised Catholic.
That's a poor excuse.
You know,
if you're
going to
laugh at me for not knowing, you should know, too.
But you know who I would ask?
Wait, what were you raised? Because other
Jewish.
Yeah. It was a Jewish friend that asked me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know who I would have asked? My wife.
Is she Catholic?
Irish Catholic.
Can she tell you why?
Yes, she could.
She could?
Yep.
Because I went to 16 years of schooling, and I don't remember a day where they said, this is why we do this, by the way.
She could.
What would she tell you?
I don't know.
You've never, asked all these years?
No.
Did she go get her ashes on Wednesday?
No, she did not.
No. But she's having trouble getting
out. She can barely get from the car back into the house.
I hear you. But anyways, I do.
Not that would have stopped her. I could have driven her.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I know. But it's tough. There's no doubt. But I do believe that the bulk of our problems here on Earth stem from religious differences. You look at all the wars we have going on, how much of them are related to religion right now. And I know everybody wants to blame that on radical Islam, sure. But look at the Crusades and all these other things we've had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Religion wants to, you know, all of our religions want to profess how we're the religion. We're the one true religion. And so we get into these issues. And I feel like maybe if we found life elsewhere, everybody'd take a step back and go, huh. Maybe we're not the be-all, end-all of everything here. Maybe there's a bigger plan. And I don't think that finding life elsewhere is a attack on God or anything like that. I think we, you know, if you believe in a creator who created us, you don't have to stick with the 6 days and everything just got placed down here. We could take the scientific of everything evolved and all this happened and still say, but somebody started it, right? Because that's the eternal question. You want to be as scientific as you want and go back to the Big Bang. Get really scientific and tell me what was there before the Big Bang. Because that's what
hard.
I want to know.
Nobody knows.
That's true. Well, nobody knows a lot of stuff.
Right. And I'll go you one better.
Uh-oh.
I'll go you one better.
Yes.
We have these issues because we don't know each other. It's not because of our religious differences. It goes beyond religion. It goes beyond politics. It goes beyond where you grew up. We don't know each other. We make assumptions. We have preconceived notions.
We do, but Roger, don't you? And I'm not attacking religion here because I go to
church. I'm not either.
But when you say all those things, I still go back to the religion part of that. Because you have an inherent trust in your fellow Jewish people, and I have an inherent trust in my fellow Catholics.
True.
But I grew up hearing Jewish jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up hearing black jokes. Now, that's race, and I know that I'm mixing it there, but I think there was a distrust among Christians of other faiths. I think there still is.
Where,
and I don't think the church does enough to help solve that and help that.
I agree. To address the jokes thing, where did the jokes come from? From preconceived notions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so again, that comes from not knowing each other. You don't have to necessarily understand each other, but if you know each other. So I think it is something that is taught by all the religions. If we're staying on the religion thing. In the Catholic Church, in church, at some point during the service, are you not told to turn towards your neighbor and greet your neighbor?
Well, we have the sign of peace where we
there we go.
Wish them, you know,
and
peace be with you.
It could be somebody you don't know, right?
It generally is. Well, I mean, generally I'm there with my family, so I know them. But I'll shake other hands.
I understand. But it's not just turning to one side or the other. You're in front of you and back of you.
Right.
This part I know. Okay? In the Jewish faith, same thing. Okay? Same thing happens. So the religions are trying to teach, and I think it gets lost in the teachings because there's so many other things. I think it's one of the mainstays is get to know your neighbor, because you cannot judge another until you know them. And therefore, you don't get to judge the other person. And I think that's what's happening a lot in our world right now. We're judging other people without knowing who they are.
Yes. Okay,
and that's a major issue. But and I think that then going with your space thing, if we go to not War of the Worlds, but
Arrival.
No.
Well, that was the new one.
And that was a great one, except for the ending was really weak.
Stop! I haven't seen it yet.
I
got to it.
I got it. Okay, but and they redid that. They redid it and the movie, and oh my God, I used to love this movie, and now I can't think.
It's
about the alien who comes to Earth with all the science. They bring all the scientists in, the military goes after. No.
The day the Earth stood still. How far back are we going here?
Day the Earth stood still.
Okay.
All right. So look at what happened there. And I think that's more true than science fiction. I think that what happens in that movie, where the scientists come together and try to learn, as opposed to the military coming in out of fear because they don't know, and trying to blow the thing up, the spaceship up. And I think that in your question of would we welcome them, would we accept them, would we fear them?
Well, and I don't even need to go that far because, Raj, we're going to find them and then have no contact. Here's my guess on how this happens. We figure out there's life because we pick up a radio wave, because there's some sort of a light or you know, we find something, but they're so far away that there's no contact for a long time.
Right.
I don't think they're going to suddenly arrive.
How many light years did you say? 40?
I mean, this is the closest one we've ever found at a dwarf star, and that's 40 light years away.
Right.
Which means, like, forever. Like, we can't get there.
Ten generations from now, we'll never know who they are.
Most likely not. Because even if we find some radio wave now, for us to send something back, things like that, it will take 40 years for it to get there.
Right.
It'll take a long time.
And
we
wouldn't even know what the radio wave is. It could just...
Well, maybe we would. Who knows? Maybe they've kind of followed along like us, and they're sort of human-like, and they've developed the same type of thing. Who knows? Maybe the technology is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, for us to send a response, it would be forever. So we just know. All we would know. We'd know there's a threat. We wouldn't know we're upset. We wouldn't know they're coming for us. We wouldn't know anything, just that this planet is not the end-all, be-all.
Mm-hmm.
There's other life out there. And once we discovered that there was other life out there, in general, that would mean there are billions of planets with other life out there.
And scientists have speculated that for ages.
But only in, like, the last 10 years have we really started to see, with the Hubble telescope and everything else, how insanely vast everything truly, truly is. And if we could discover just life, intelligent life, in one other place, that would make you believe that the universe is teeming with life everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just so far apart, it's hard to find, it's hard to see. So what would that tell us? Would that tell us that, hey, there's bigger fish to fry than whatever we're thinking? Because, you know, you're saying in all these masses we're told to know your neighbor and talk to one another. But, Roger, I really do believe at the same point, at least in Christianity, we keep being told to spread the word and talk to each other. I think religions are very territorial. At least maybe Judaism isn't, but you guys are older than the rest of us. You guys have been around the block.
Yes.
We're a little younger, like trying to grab our piece of the pie and trying to fight for our space. And I feel like we spend too much time saying, but ours is right. You know, we teach that other, you know, people aren't going to get to the pearly gates because they didn't go along with this route. And that's real tough for me to grasp that, you know, and we don't do enough of, hey, we all believe. And that's what's important. Let's be good to one another. Let's believe and let's not believe that you're not going anywhere good because you didn't believe what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's just terrible thinking in my mind. And
that's why
that's the type of thing we have to get over.
Right. If you go back to the basics of religion, the pure basics,
the golden rule is really all we need.
Yeah,
if you ask
there you
me.
Go.
And we just stuck with that.
And why have we had so many offshoots of the main religions over the decades and centuries?
Because people get upset about things.
They get upset and they think, it should be a different
way.
You
know why, Roger?
So,
you know why? You know what the problem with religion is? It's run by humans. You know, I mean, think about it. These books were all written centuries after anything that they're being written about.
Mm-hmm.
Stories passed down generation to generation, then finally put on paper.
Exactly.
Think about when you tell your wife something who tells your, I mean, in Little League, Little League, I'll hear from somebody, a parent on a team, who heard from a coach who heard from another coach something.
Telephone.
Imagine how distorted that gets in four people. But we're going on books that were written centuries after.
Mm-hmm.
Passed down.
That's right.
Susan is on 720 WGN. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Live long and prosper.
I don't know a good Star Trek thing to say back to that because I'm just not a Trekkie. But I know that's, Leonard
Spock.
Nimoy. Spock.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you say? What do you say? You
I'm
just say that back.
I admit it. The reason I'm calling is I was wondering if the space program would ever get to where Star Trek was.
Well, I think there's science that we're nowhere near solving. So you're talking about like actually having a ship out there looking for other life and like visiting other worlds, that type of thing?
Yes, to a point, but in my case, I look at it more of the aspect of being a Next Generation fan, more on the medical side, because I live with chronic pain and, you know, I get needles shoved into me, and I mean, I'm a disaster zone. I mean, I'm on strong medications, so I always watched it for like the sick bay aspect of it.
Okay.
So I was just curious.
Susan, my guess is if we ever get to the point where we're able to travel around like anything in Star Trek, either whether that's beaming somebody up or just having a ship that can actually fly fast enough that people get to other... Because if you think about it, the one thing about Star Trek is you have to think about the vastness of space and how far away everything is. And in these episodes, they're encountering people all the time, which is really just an impossibility unless you're traveling at light speed all the time. You'd have to be traveling at light speed all the time and then suddenly running into people. So if we ever get the technology to the point where that's happening, I imagine we're going to have mapped our human bodies so well that they'll have cures for pretty much whatever ails you, is my guess.
In other words, not in my lifetime.
Susan, you and I will not be reaping the benefits of any of this. No, we're not going to.
What we have right now, Susan, is
we have edibles, and that will get us through the pain until the administration cracks down on that. That's my guess. That's as best best we're going to do.
Well, like I said, I'm a Star Trek geek, so my favorite is Next Generation and Voyager. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Susan. I appreciate you. Have a great morning.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, Patrick has called in with something I don't know anything about. Patrick, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hey. Now, first off, I don't know where that lady came from, but George Bush was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he had an interview, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel asked him, did you get to look at any of those UFO files? And he said, yeah. And he said, did you tell your wife anything about him? He said, no. He said, can you tell me anything about him? He said, no. And like, it was a dead silence because obviously, like, if you looked at his face, he knows something.
All right.
And I don't know.
The tough part for me with that, Patrick, is it's on Jimmy Kimmel's show. You know, it's not like it was on Charlie Rose or something where
it's a president.
It is on Jimmy Kimmel, so we got to take that with a grain. I mean, two nights ago, he's dropping Twizzlers from the sky at the Kodak Theater, right?
So, what does that have to do with him asking the last president, you know, one of the last presidents, and he would not answer the question. He said, can you tell us anything about it? He said, no. Like, you need to, okay, first off, you need to check it out.
I will look at it. I will look at it.
He was 100% like, yeah, I know a lot more than anybody else in this world knows, except the last couple presidents. And, yeah, again, I don't know how you could think that if we just found seven planets in one solar system that could resemble our planet,
right,
that you don't think anybody else has been here? I mean, do you really believe that we're the only beings in the universe, as big as the universe is?
All right, Patrick, here's my answers to all this. I absolutely do not believe we're the only beings in the universe. I don't. I don't personally believe that other beings have visited here. And
you don't? You
know, I don't. Here's why.
Wow.
Here's why. Because why would they be first of all, you understand how technologically advanced they would be to be able to get here.
Okay. Wait a second. Stop. I'm going to stop you right there.
Sure.
Do you not realize the technology that jump that we've made in like 30 years?
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, when we were like in the 60s, we had rooms that were computers.
I know. No, now. Absolutely. I agree with
and
all
you
that.
You don't think we don't.
Hold on, Patrick.
Our government has any place that they are trying. I guarantee you, they're trying to re-engineer the crafts that they have acquired since the Roswell incident. You know, I don't know if you believe in that or not.
Well,
but either way, they've tried to re-engineer everything. I mean, fibro. That thing that they use where they're sending signals just through a cord. I mean, they're getting our technology is coming from somewhere else. If you don't believe that, that's fine. But if you look at everything that's been developed, I mean, you take a step that's 3 yards, and then the next time you take a step, it's a mile and a half. You know,
Well, listen, Patrick, I believe that everything is moving insanely faster because of the technology we've developed and how it's getting better and better. I don't believe my hesitancy on believing anything on the Roswell thing right now is the technology would have been so insanely advanced. Why would it be, you know, these pictures we have or these thoughts we have are kind of just like some sort of thing out of a science fiction movie for some other species to travel the insane amount of distance they would have to be able to travel at light speed. They would have to be able to do all these things that we don't even understand.
That we do? That we've already done? What did we just discover, Matt? I'm sorry. We just discovered with our satellites or a telescope a universe that has 5 to 7 planets that are the same as ours.
Not a universe, just a star, and we've discovered millions and millions of those. We discover those all the time. We still haven't been able to prove any of them have life.
For us to be ignorant enough to think that we have the best technology.
I absolutely don't think we have the best technology, Patrick. I don't think that at all. I'm sure that if there's other life out there, they could be millions and billions of years more advanced and older than us.
So
I don't know why they would suddenly just crash one errant ship crashes into the desert 40 years ago and then we never hear from them again.
What if are you kidding me? We don't have nobody else has spotted a UFO in the last since then? Are you kidding me?
Why are these UFOs like quietly circling our planet at night and capturing people in Iowa and probing them? Why is that happening?
It's not in Iowa. It's all over. Don't even say that. That sounds you sound ignorant when you say it's just in Iowa. It's all around the world. I'm sorry to break your bubble, but again, for you to think that we are the only people or only.
Patrick, I've said 7 times since you've been on the phone, I don't think any of that.
Okay.
I don't think we're the only ones. I don't think
nobody's. Why would if we like we are searching for planets that have water that can sustain us. Why would you not think that there's other places that would be doing the same thing? And hey, like you said, maybe in Iowa, They're probing somebody.
Because there's billions and billions of other planets. There's billions and billions of other planets that they would find it at that are probably closer to them. That are probably closer to them, I'm sure.
Okay.
And why would they grab somebody? I mean, think about this, Patrick. They're grabbing somebody, probing them, and then putting them back for them to tell these weird stories. Why wouldn't they just take them? Why are they returning them?
They're probing them and finding the women that they can inseminate.
All right, Patrick. I gotta let you go. I tried, Patrick. Hey, man, believe what you want. I understand. And if you think I'm crazy for not believing, then I understand that too. Glenn, you're on 720 WGN. Real quick, before we get to the news, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Just call me Cartman. I can't stop that. I really can't. You know, I don't know. If they were able to see what we've been beaming out into outer space, all the old shows, if they're intelligent enough, would you really want to come to this planet right now?
Well, I think that they wouldn't know. I mean, that's the thing. If we find other life and we send something there, we're not going to have any idea what's going on there. I mean, they might arrive and sit here for a week and go, holy crap, we came at the wrong time. Let's, you know, there's got to be another planet.
Oh, yeah.
But you travel this far to get here. It's like when you go to the Grand Canyon as a kid and you keep threatening to turn the car around. You don't really turn the car around. You got to get there.
I know. At least I can bring a stone back with me just to say I was there. you know, I don't know. I think I'm overly tired.
I hear you.
That's his last conversation. I'm perplexed. I really am.
Well, it's a perplexing world, my friend.
Could they have been here? Possibly. We're working on the presumption that any other species out there in the universe has the same technology as us, and that is just. We can't do that. You know?
I mean, we just don't know. There could be civilizations that are so vastly superior to us that it's amazing. And maybe they monitor us. Who knows? Maybe they're so far away they don't know about us. Maybe there's civilizations out there that are in their infancy and just still primordial soup and nowhere near where we are. There's endless possibilities because there's endless planets all around the universe. The Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We've been talking over the past few months with Chris Chmielewski. He is with Numbers USA. It's kind of a grassroots immigration organization. Not so much necessarily about the concerns about terrorism, things like that, that the administration is focused on with immigration, but about jobs, about good immigration versus bad immigration, who's coming in, who's coming out. Not so much as much as on the legalities or the criminals or bad hombres, things like that. But workers we're letting in, people who are staying over their visa, different things like that. We've had a lot of great discussions with Chris about that. Now that we're getting a little bit into the administration, we've had a State of the Union address and are seeing what the plans are and what's really going to work. We thought we'd jump back on the phone with the Director of Content and Activism for Numbers USA, our friend Chris Chmielewski. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming back with us. We've appreciated these conversations over the past few months. So now that we're into the administration, where we are, you know, the wall is allegedly going to happen. There's a lot of talk about that. President Trump still has to negotiate down the costs on that, which he'll do because he's a negotiator. But as I've talked to you over the last number of months, you haven't focused and your group doesn't focus as much on the criminals or the people that are coming over as much as on jobs and different things like that. And especially, as you've told me over time, you're not as worried as much about people sneaking across the border as people who legally come into the country who are only supposed to stay for a certain amount of time and then don't end up leaving. Is that accurate?
It's mostly accurate. We are concerned about the folks that sneak across the border as well. But as the president has put most of his emphasis on building a wall, something that you've already mentioned, we typically put a little bit more attention on passing things like mandatory E-Verify that would require all employers to check whether or not new hires are eligible to work in the United States. And we think that would, by passing a mandatory E-Verify law, requiring employers to do that, that would cut off the jobs magnet, which is the main reason why so many people try to cross the border illegally.
All right, tell me about E-Verify, because I thought, isn't that a law? Is it that it hasn't gotten funding? Where is that at? Why is that not already, or is the government held back on that because there's a feeling that economically they do want to allow a certain amount of people to come work certain jobs? What's the holdup on E-Verify?
So the holdup on E-Verify is it's mostly we're just waiting for Congress to pass a requirement to force all employers to use it. It is a voluntary program. It's up and running, so it's not on hold. It's actually a pretty successful programming. Data from USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, who maintains the program, says that about 50% of all new hires in the United States are run through E-Verify. And the reason for that is because, first, a lot of big corporations use it. Secondly, there is a mandate for federal contractors to use the E-Verify system. And thirdly, there are a lot of states who have passed mandatory E-Verify laws, Arizona, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina. There's a small mandate here in Virginia. So you have a lot of employers that are already required to use it at the state level. And if you use it in one location, you have to use it at all your locations. So there's a fairly significant number of employers that are already using it.
And why are not all employers using it? Is it because they don't want to or because they don't have to yet? And it's expensive, so why bother if you don't have to?
Yeah, it's more of they either don't know about it or they don't want to use it. Right now, employers, when they hire a new employee, they are required to fill out the I-9 form. E-Verify would actually replace the I-9 form, so you wouldn't even have to file that anymore. And as a lot of people know, when you file that I-9 form, you usually have to show, if you're not a U.S. citizen, you have to show your employment authorization document. If you are a U.S. citizen, you usually have to show a driver's license or a passport and typically a Social Security card in order to get that form processed. What E-Verify does is just simply replaces that form. You enter the information into the computer. The computer system pings the relevant databases, depending on which documents you're using, to make sure that those documents are actually real documents. And then most of the time, more than 95% of the time, it gives the employer an immediate confirmation back.
And do you see this getting through and becoming national law, or is it going to continue to be held up now that the Trump administration is in and have control of both houses? Will this finally get moving?
Well, not only is there wide support amongst the American people, but there's also wide support across both political parties. So it's not really a political issue. It becomes a little bit more of a bargaining issue. The E-Verify mandate was part of the Gang of Eight's 2013 Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill. There was an E-Verify mandate in that legislation. So that's something that, you know, Democrats want to use E-Verify as leverage to provide a legalization program for folks that are in the country illegally. Republicans want to use E-Verify more as a bargaining tool to expand guest worker programs because that's something that they support. So it's mainly been used as a bargaining tool, and standalone bills haven't had a whole lot of chances of passing through Congress. But we do see a chance that it could come this year because Trump has been pretty vocal on the campaign trail about passing an E-Verify mandate. And for the last three Congresses, an E-Verify bill has been passed through the House Judiciary Committee. It just simply hasn't been brought to the House floor yet. But if you have a president pushing for the bill to get pushed to the House floor, we think it could move.
There's a new bill in the Senate, the RAISE Act, sponsored by Tom Cotton, that would reduce low-skilled immigration. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. There's most of the focus, as you know, and especially from the president, is on illegal immigration, but very few people talk about legal immigration. It was actually something that President Trump did touch upon during his speech and talked about the impacts of high levels of low-skilled immigration on the prospects, job prospects for workers and their wages. What Senator Cotton's bill would do is it would eliminate basically two of the three major legal immigration categories. So the three categories are employment-based, where you have to have some sort of a skill or educational attainment in order to get a green card, Another one is called the Visa Lottery, where we literally raffle off green cards to foreign nationals to get green cards into the United States. And then the third is family-based green cards for certain family members, both non-nuclear family members and nuclear family members. What Senator Cotton's bill would do would eliminate the Visa Lottery bill and eliminate the non-nuclear family-based preference categories. And again, referring back to the Gang of Eight bill that passed the Senate in 2013, that was not a bill that Numbers USA endorsed, but that bill did eliminate both the Visa Lottery and these non-nuclear family-based preference categories. So it is something that's been passed by the Senate in the past.
If we pass a bill that reduces low-skilled immigration, so that's good maybe for factory workers at the lower end or you know, different areas, right?
Right.
But I imagine then there would be another set that would say, wait a minute, we've got a lot of high-skilled workers looking for jobs here. You and I have talked in the past about how some of these companies have brought in high-skilled workers, and they're, in essence, loosely indentured servants, because if they quit that job, they have to leave the country again. So
right.
there's some issues with that, too. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Do we have enough low-skilled workers that are hurting because of immigrants coming in and stealing their jobs? Is that really something that, you know, it seems to me that a lot of those jobs are being farmed out to other countries. Now, I know that President Trump is going to push really hard not to let companies just take their jobs elsewhere for cheaper labor. But do we have
right.
enough low-skilled labor that that's going to make sense? Because these companies aren't going to want to pay $20 an hour to an American, right? They want to pay $6 or $7 to an immigrant who they can get away with that with. And that helps keep all of our market our goods cheap, right? I mean, if farm labor suddenly becomes much more expensive, so does that salad I put on the table at night. And so where economically does that all shake out?
Right. Well, most of the ag workers, I'll start there, since you ended there. Most of the ag workers, right now they're usually relying on, when they're using foreign labor, they're usually relying on folks that are in the country illegally, or they're relying on folks that come in through the H-2A guest worker program that's specifically created for agriculture. Mm-hmm. And that's a program that needs a little bit of reforming, but it does allow for an unlimited number of foreign guest workers to enter the country to work in agriculture. And that system's here to stay. Like I said, it probably needs a little bit of reforming. But typically folks that come in through the family-based preference categories or through the Visa Lottery are not going to go work in the fields picking fruits and vegetables. That's usually not what they're coming into the country for, especially when they get the green card.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is more about things like food service, hospitality, jobs that you can't outsource, jobs that you can't necessarily automate. You can automate it in some ways, but you still need a human being to check you out at you know, a fast food restaurant, or to help check you in at a hotel. A lot of that stuff has been automated, but you know, typically you still need somebody there to help you out with that process. What we've learned from various studies, the one that's most recently and most widely been heard, is the National Academy of Sciences did a massive study on the fiscal impacts on workers on mass immigration, and they released that study back in October, I believe, of 2016. So it's a fairly recent study. And what they found is that the workers who are most negatively impacted by high levels of massive low-skilled immigration are actually American workers who have a high school education or less. And when you look at the unemployment figures, those are the ones, typically high school Americans with a high school education or less, usually have an unemployment rate that's at least double of what the national average is. So you are seeing a lot more of those folks that are finding it tougher to find jobs and also see growth in their wages. I don't want to necessarily say that low-skilled immigrants are coming in to steal jobs away from Americans, but they're competing with those Americans for jobs. And those are our most vulnerable Americans, and the Americans that right now, quite frankly, probably need the most help.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. And while I want to say, and we've talked, I spoke with a guest about globalization just a couple of weeks ago and about our free trade agreements and what they mean to the other countries and to us. And my concern with President Trump pushing so hard for these these jobs to stay here, these factories to stay here, is that's not the jobs that are going to really grow, right? I mean, factory jobs, no matter how much he says he's bringing them back, they're going to move more and more to automation. And I'm concerned about every time he touts how many jobs are coming back, what the real number is, because I'm sure that it's going to be inflated a little bit, right? Anything that's announced is inflated in some way, shape, or form, no matter what it is on either side of the party or anything in life. When somebody announces some great thing, you know their numbers are probably a little bit. They're finding every possible number they could put in there and figuring out how to make it bigger. But you know that these factories are not the factories they were 40 years ago, right? They don't need as many people. Automation is bigger than ever. And the jobs that are probably going to be needed in factories in the future are going to require some education and some higher skill level, because it's probably going to be more keeping everything running that's actually doing the jobs that all the humans used to do back in the day.
Right. You're absolutely right. And we're not necessarily, the jobs that he's talking about, the factory jobs as you refer to, it's not, again, we usually don't talk about those jobs necessarily. We're talking mostly about the jobs that are in either food service, hospitality, landscaping, that sort of work. Those are the ones that we're seeing most of the jobs being the extra competition hurting American workers.
Mm. So tell me a little bit about where do you think we're headed here as far as the people staying over their stay? That has been a big issue in the past. I don't know that President Trump has dealt with that at all yet. He's got bigger issues on immigration that he likes to focus on. You've said that that's our biggest problem, is these people coming in and then overstaying. Is the administration working on that too? Are you getting some satisfaction that they're going to look into that?
Yeah, they actually, in one of the executive orders that he signed, he called for completion of the biometric entry-exit system. And what that would do is it would... right now, we're currently checking in every single foreign visitor who enters the United States, but we're not checking them out when they leave. And that's what's preventing us from finding out whether or not somebody overstays one of their visas. So he's actually called for the completion of that system. And once that system is complete, then that will greatly help reduce the number of visa overstayers.
And you're thinking that is going to move forward and that will work, and you'll be much happier about that hopefully a year or two from now?
Yes. Yeah, they've already taken steps to try to accomplish that.
So a month in, Chris, a lot of people would be very negative on this administration. Looking at it from your niche and from the way that you look at, from your organization, Numbers USA, and their concerns, what grade would you give the administration so far?
I would say probably a low B.
Okay.
We've seen some movement. But like I said, most of the actions, and as you noted at the very beginning, most of the actions, most of the talk that President Trump has focused on has dealt mostly with enforcement and illegal immigration. While that's certainly a concern to us, our bigger concern is the 1.1 million new green cards that we issue out every single year and trying to bring that down so we can take some of the pressures off of American workers and the downward pressure on their wages. So there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about addressing legal immigration numbers and the guest worker programs. There's been a little bit about the guest worker programs. And then, like I said, he did throw one line into his speech on Tuesday night about how legal immigration impacts American workers and their wages. But so far, the administration really hasn't taken any steps. So we're hoping that he takes a look at Senator Cotton's RAISE Act and maybe that bill can go somewhere.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where we head forward. A low B from Numbers USA. I'm guessing one of the higher grades so far from the overall areas, just because it's been a rough month and a lot's been going on. But
right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say it would not be that high if you had asked me a week ago before on Tuesday night, because, again, on Tuesday night, he did put a lot of emphasis on legal immigration and called for the merit-based system. So that was, we consider that steps in the right direction.
Christian Malinsky from Numbers USA. Find him at numbersusa.com. Follow them on Twitter at Numbers USA. We always appreciate the conversation, Chris. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Good talking with you.
You're listening to the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you here for 23 more minutes. Max Orion will be along with the morning show. Mike Stevens got outside the loop. Sweet Lou Manfredini will be by as always, followed by John Williams. couple of people are texting, trying to explain to me. They said there's a YouTube video you can see that shows time going in a spaceship and then a box with time on Earth. That can help explain it.
There's a Einstein Online also. And it's the example is two hypothetical twins. One of them stays at home on Earth. The other journeys into space in an ultra-fast rocket, nearly as fast as the speed of light, which is what we were talking about, before returning home. Afterwards, when the twins are reunited on Earth, the traveling twin is markedly younger compared to her stay-at-home sibling. Exact age difference depends on the details of the journey. For example, it could be that aboard the spaceship, 2 years of flight time have passed. Onboard clocks and calendars show that 2 years have elapsed, and both spaceship and traveling twin have aged by exactly that amount of time. On Earth, however, a whopping 30 years have passed between the spaceship's departure and its return. Just like all other humans on the Earth, the twin on the Earth has aged 30 years during that time. Seeing the two twins side by side, the difference is striking.
So is time dilation real, link that somebody sent me? It says the principle is this. The deeper you find yourself in a strong gravitational field, the slower your clock will run relative to someone who is not in as strong a gravitational field. This can be translated into meaning the closer you are to something large, the slower your clocks will run. However, it also means that if your two clocks are the same distance from two objects, one which has a much stronger gravitational pull than the other, say a planet for one clock and a black hole for the other, clock around the more massive object, the black hole, will run slower, even though both clocks are the same distance away.
Mm-hmm.
So we are actually aging. So, all right, so hold on. So that's a clock. That's how we perceive time.
Right.
But wouldn't we still age the exact same way?
No.
Oh, come on, people. Mm. All right, back to something happier. Dan, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning, sir. Dan, I'm sorry,
Good
Dan.
Good morning.
What's up, Dan?
Not, I just went through your favorite Indiana town.
Munster?
Kentland.
Oh, Kentland, yes. Munster's where I grew up, but Kentland is where we would stop at the New Joy for the most painfully last long breakfast ever.
Last time I talked to you, I was going to send you some pictures, but there seems to be a kink in the system.
What's the kink?
You need to get up. You need to quit worrying about the UFOs.
Okay.
If they want to come down here and see us, they'll knock on the door.
Okay.
But you need to get back on the Mexico thing.
Oh, you like that one. Okay.
Okay, now listen. Roger will see where I'm going with this. Because you got to take a page out of the Mark Carmen playbook here and GoFundMe page.
That's never a good start. When you start, Dan, with take a page from Mark Carmen, that has red flags written all over it. I'm just saying.
Well, I know. His insanity does have some reality to it, though.
Okay.
Roger wants a radio station in North Dakota.
And that's right.
We came up with the GoFundMe page.
Right.
You're going to buy a radio station in North Dakota?
Yeah. A long time ago, Carmen asked me what I've always wanted that I never got. I said, you know, I always wanted to own my own radio station. I don't care if it's in Podunk, North Dakota.
You know what happens in Podunk, North Dakota, don't you?
No.
Aliens, anal probe people.
Oh, stop about
it's
that.
True.
All right, no.
It's true.
Carmen couldn't do it. He wants to do a show, but he'd have to do it from O's studio in Arizona because he doesn't want to be too cold.
Because he's soft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's too cold. Yeah, right. But by the end of the show, they raised enough money, believe it or not.
To buy it?
To buy the radio station.
How much was this radio station?
I think I estimate it might cost like $300,000.
They didn't raise $300,000.
He had like four listeners who texted and called in and said they would pay.
Okay. That's different than raising $300,000.
All right, never mind.
See, well, now this is what I'm talking about, the Mexico trip. Now, I'm thinking a little bit small with the VW bus.
Now, here's what we have so far, Dan. We have Ron, we have Alan, we have Hippie Mike, me and Raj. Shantae, I'm sure, is getting more nervous about the idea by the second. Now, Dan, are you in, and are you a driver? Are you just a rider? Hippie Mike said he'd eat our stash if we got pulled over. Ron and Alan both offered to drive. What's your role on this?
Well, while here, I'm kind of trying to be the planner here. And
what
you got to think about is, with the GoFundMe page, you can only get part way. Now, I'm talking about, I don't know, tour bus, motor coach, something a little bigger. Okay, now, and what I got, the picture I got in my head is WGN and, say, Dos Equis sponsors the Mexico Beach Party, you know, something down that line, and get a sponsor.
Yes.
Now we're talking party.
We could go after Dos Equis. We could go after Pacifico. We could go after Tecate. We could go after Corona. I'd be happy with
there
any of those.
There you go. And Carmen said he just got a car so he can kind of follow behind.
Carmen would not. You'd have to drive Carmen. You'd have to, like, change his diaper. I mean, Carmen needs pampering like nobody you know. Trust me.
I know. He makes me laugh, though.
He's a great guy. Trust me. But you're not driving to Tijuana with him.
But I think if you just think a little bigger, the WGN sponsorship, the Dos Equis or the Ducati or
I like it.
You know, it's going the right direction.
And you're in, Dan. You'll come along for the ride.
I'm ready. I've been down to Mexico, and I drive.
All right. Stay tuned,
I'm
sir.
I'm right now, but you don't want to go in the back of a trailer.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be as much fun. But we'll figure it out. All right, Dan, thanks so much for calling in, buddy. Have a great morning.
You too.
All right, Bye. Thank you, sir. All right, Raj. We're up to 4 listeners now. We're going to need a bigger bus.
Now, wait, do we have to bring anything with it, like motorcycles? Because once
we
get down there, you don't want to...
Well,
you don't want to, like, drive around Tijuana with a huge van.
Why not? I think we'd be the party van.
Then you just park it in one spot.
Maybe we drive around Tijuana and people keep jumping on the bus and we just party on the bus.
Oh, one of those on-off buses? Like
yes.
The tourist
we
buses?
Pick them up at different corners, drop them off
they
other
can
places.
Jump off whenever they want and get back on again.
I like that. Yeah. We could do that. Traveling around the country as we get down there.
That would be
we'll
awesome.
Pick up somebody in Oklahoma City, drop them off in Winslow, Arizona.
I like it.
Take somebody else all the way to Tacoma.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Atlanta, and L.A.
You're going there.
It's not in order, but...
It's close enough.
We'll cover everything.
They're dancing in the streets.
Roger, you okay today?
Except in Winslow, they're just standing
like
on a corner.
I feel like either you inhaled some helium or somebody gave you a brownie that you thought was a little more normal than it was. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
Is there a new prescription I'm not aware of?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Roger's going to get a truckload of something to bring back.
Somebody's got to sample the brownies, make
true.
Sure they're right
this
for the trip.
This is true. All right, let's do this for a minute. So we only have a little bit of time. The Oscars, you and I were talking about it off air a little bit. So I didn't get to see it live. I saw it because I was away at work or I was doing Little League stuff. And then I TiVo'd it, but we didn't realize it was going an hour over. So we missed the whole ending. And so the next day I saw this hilarious, terrible mix-up where Warren Beatty comes out with the wrong envelope, doesn't realize he has the wrong envelope. Now, I've read a few different stories because I'm very fascinated in dissecting how in the world this went so wrong.
Right.
We know that the PricewaterhouseCooper, there's two accountants. One is on one side of the stage. One is on the other side of the stage.
Right.
There's a set of envelopes on each side of the stage.
Identical set.
Yes. So whichever side the presenter is coming from, they can be handed the right envelope. They go out on the stage.
Exactly.
The two accountants are the only two people who know every winner.
Right.
They are supposed to memorize who all the winners are before that night.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something goes wrong, they go, wait, no, that's wrong. So the previous Oscar was the best actress, and that went to Emma Stone for La La Land.
Right.
That presenter came from one side of the stage,
mm-hmm.
and the female, I don't know the two PricewaterhouseCoopers people names, but
right.
but the female accountant gave that envelope to that presenter. I think it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Emma Stone the trophy. They go off. Then Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway come on from the other side of the stage.
Right.
Where the guy either hands or accidentally lets them take the best actress envelope.
From
because they have one on that side.
Right. From the pictures that I've seen, he was holding both envelopes. He had the best actress envelope and best picture envelope in his hands along with his cell phone.
And he's taking pictures.
And he's taking pictures of all the stars and not paying attention.
Well, and he had, I think, right before he handed the envelope, he tweeted a photo of Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing things he shouldn't be doing. She kind of be paying attention, right?
Yeah, you think so.
And so Warren Beatty goes out there with the wrong envelope with Faye Dunaway. And they announce the nominees, and then he opens it up. Now, another story I'd read, so the guy who ran out on the stage with the headset on.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what he is called, the stage director or what his official title was. But he did an interview for Variety or Hollywood Reporter, I read. And it was fascinating because he was really ticked off that he said these two had no clue what the hell they were doing. There are protocols in place. And he said, oddly enough, we had just gone over this. He said, we never talk about this before the show. I think these two have been at the show many, many times as the official accountants. And he said, we actually talked about it the day before. We hadn't talked about it in so many years. But what would happen if the wrong winner was announced?
Right.
Because he had done some interview and somebody had asked him about it. And he's like, oh, well, you know, we have protocols in place, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So they actually had a conversation about what would happen. If you heard the wrong thing, one of the accountants has to come running out there and stop the proceedings and say, hold on, that's not right. Let's double check this, et cetera, et cetera. So what happened was the female accountant is on one side. The male accountant is on the other. He's the one that hands Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway the wrong envelope. They go out there. Now, the stage director would normally be next to the female accountant. And, you know, they're all talking in headsets. But he goes out into the audience because right after they're going to do the best picture, Jimmy Kimmel is going to do a final prank on Matt Damon to close the show. Mm-hmm. So the stage director goes out there to talk to Matt Damon's wife and say, I need you to give up your seat because Jimmy Kimmel's going to come do something here. So he's out there talking to her as they're announcing the winner. As this is going on, he's like arranging this next bit.
Right.
And then in his headset, he hears, that's not the right winner. And he's like, wait, what? And somebody's saying, we think they announced the wrong winner. It's not supposed to be La La Land. And
right.
So he goes running back to the woman and grabs the other envelope that she has.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he sees. What is,
no, yeah, he goes out and
well,
takes
first,
the envelope.
First, I think they go over to her side and they double check.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back to where he was, and then he comes running out to see the envelope. But he said that, you know, the accountants are supposed to rush. So they're telling the accountant, and the accountant's just standing there. Like, he doesn't know what the hell to do. And he's like,
right. He
had to shove him out onto the stage to go after and figure out what's going on.
Right.
And he said the guy was just like a deer in headlights, and he was really annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Academy president, like in an interview she did about it, was saying, you had one job.
Yeah.
You know, they were pretty upset about how the whole thing went down.
Yeah.
And it made for a really, all in all, what a great moment for the Oscars, because everybody's talking about it. You know, this was one of the lowest rated Oscars. It was, you know, did not do well, at least as far as that. There's still like 30 million people watching, so it's a great night overall, but numbers are way off.
Right.
And so this is a moment that will certainly live in infamy for the Oscars. It was handled very graciously by the La La Land producer who handed it over to Moonlight. And poor Warren Beatty. You know, people feel bad for Warren Beatty, but at the same time, I don't feel. No, here's the other thing that the stage director said. They were upset before the telecast. The Academy changed the envelopes. The envelopes were much harder to read this year because I think they were a very glossy envelope. And the way the words were printed on it, he said, we definitely went for design over function. And we screwed up and we complained about it. And there was nothing we could do when we complained about it because all the envelopes are already done. They did have the actual card inside reprinted to be larger because originally they felt it was too hard to read and there could be a mistake made. So they had those reprinted larger, but the envelopes were done. There was nothing you were going to do. And so it's very, you know, it's not Warren Beatty's job. Hand me the envelope. Here I go. But you would think you'd look at it and go, oh, wait a minute. This isn't the right envelope, but because of the shine on the envelopes, it sounds like it was kind of hard to figure out what was what with that. So maybe he just didn't.
Well,
but he gets out there, and I know people feel bad for him, but he sees it says Emma Stone, and I know he's just there to read it, but I think he should go, wait a minute. These just say the name of the movie, not an actress from it, right? And he hesitated, and Faye Dunaway thinks he's pulling a prank, like he's just going to drag this out. And then she's the one that ends up announcing it, right?
Right.
He sort of hands it to her like, and he doesn't, he should have said, is this right? He should have like given her a, instead he just kind of freezes and she goes, La La Land. And everyone's like, woo. And because she doesn't know, she just sees it and reads it. And I do blame Warren just a little bit. I know it's not his fault, but come on, dude.
Yeah.
It says Emma Stone.
Right.
This
he
is
should
best
have said
picture.
Right then and there and
she
said.
She didn't produce it.
Yeah. He should have said, this is not the right
He should have just said, let's hold on just one second and draw it out a little more. Yeah. It'd be even funny. And then wave somebody off and go, we doing the right thing here?
Right.
You know, that wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world. It's very weird that it says Emma Stone. He's been around the Academy long enough that he knows how that works. So I give him a little bit of – now, listen, the PricewaterhouseCooper people completely blew it. They've been banned from the Oscars. Those two will never work.
Yeah.
Pricewaterhouse –
never work in this town again.
PricewaterhouseCoopers has been doing the accounting for the Oscars for 83 years.
Mm-hmm. They're on thin ice now.
That's a little bit under review.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see what happens with that, but still a nice. I mean, it's an interesting moment to say the least. That's for
and
sure.
Then they messed up on the memoriam. They had the right name but the wrong picture.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, that happened. That's an honest mistake. I don't know that's. I mean, you have a chance to check all that over, but still,
you have a long time to put that thing together.
I know, but
and
there's a lot of people, and that's not like they put in a picture of Michael Jackson instead of Prince. This is like a relatively minor celebrity person that they're honoring. It's nice that they're honoring, but a mistake was made, and it was innocent, I'm sure. You know, it wasn't that, we were tweeting pictures of the other in memoriams, and we screwed up this one. You know, I'm sure that was, I can't believe I missed that mistake. But that, you know, that one is more forgivable to me than, you know, handing the wrong envelope for the biggest moment of the night.
Yeah, true. And it was too long.
Again, it's always too long.
Yeah, but still, you know what? Cut out some of the funny stuff and let's...
I don't know. I think the funny stuff's okay. You know what I want them to cut out?
What?
I don't need to hear every original song. I'm sorry, but it's about the movies. I know music's a big part of that.
Yeah.
But can we do a 4-minute montage with all the songs? Do we have to hear every song?
It's the huge production that they put on with it.
It's like 30 minutes of the show right there with all those songs. Mm. I love the way they opened it with Justin Timberlake. I thought that was
very
good.
Cool.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel had a great monologue and he was funny. Now, if you're a big fan of President Trump, you didn't think it was funny, but you know, he poked fun at him and he had some fun with it. And he poked fun at a lot of people there.
And it was expected.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to avoid that. So overall, I thought it was good. It was a very diverse group of winners and some impassioned speeches and things like that.